Second Timothy, in the King James Version, chapter 2, verse 8. Doug, he was easy on me this morning. He knows I can't read too good. I remember one Sunday morning, he got Brad pretty good. Brad had to read a whole chapter, didn't you, Brad? Whatever. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Larry, that note said read all of 2 Timothy. I don't know. Good morning. So thankful you're here this morning. So thankful to see some familiar faces who are visiting with us. Maybe you're new to this congregation. We encourage you to come back this evening. Wait, no, not this evening. No, come back after lunch service. Yeah, after we have lunch together. We are so thankful you are here. So fill out a visitor's card or let yourself be made known to someone else so we can make contact with you. Our theme for this year is concerning church growth, and we want to follow up with our action plan for this entire year, so that's our theme. But this morning, I want to take an opportunity to talk about a holiday that many individuals will be celebrating tomorrow. Tomorrow is what we celebrate and we know as Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is this time of year where we set aside an opportunity to visit grave sites. There's going to be many cemetery visits today with honoring fallen soldiers who have died in wars past. And this celebration, or this time of honoring these individuals and memorializing them, is over 150 years old. It dates back to the Civil War era, and even beyond that, it was recognized as a national holiday during World War I, where many people started to observe this time, and they would go to these grave sites, and some people would leave pennies on the gravestones to pay tribute to these fallen soldiers. Other individuals will just leave flowers, and for many people, this is an important day. People will lower their flags to half-staff at noontime. People will play taps. People will say prayers. So there's that group that really dedicates this time to honor those who have provided us with privileges and freedoms that we have in this country. But then there's going to be another group on another side that this is just merely another three-day weekend. It's another extended holiday that we get to have cookouts, we get to have barbecues. Some people get to do work on their property, maybe cut their grass, trim some hedges. So it doesn't hold as much meaning to one particular group as it does to another. And one group can tend to forget the sacrifices that were made for those to provide them opportunity where you can have the freedom to have a barbecue, where you can have the freedom to have parties and get-togethers with family, because someone has sacrificed their life for your benefit. So we're going to have many cemetery visits tomorrow by the other group who's going to honor these fallen soldiers. Let me ask you a trivia question for this morning. What is the difference between a cemetery and a graveyard? A cemetery and a graveyard. Alan's trying to answer. That's good. Cemetery is a public domain. A graveyard is what you find on church property. And that's what I would like to do this morning. Since many people are going to be visiting cemeteries, I want to take the church on a tour through a graveyard. It's a graveyard of passages where we're going to notice a lot of epitaphs of people who have died before us. We're going to call them soldiers who have passed on before us, and we're going to see a description on their gravestone, these gravestone verses, that tell us how they lived their life. So walk with me through Hebrews chapter 11. Turn your Bibles there. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to notice some of these monuments, some of these descriptions on these gravestones of individuals who lived before us, how they lived, what they did. We're going to briefly discuss a few of these, and then we're going to try to hammer home a true dedication and memorial to a certain individual who stands as our general and our captain by what we live and the freedoms that we have. So, Hebrews chapter 11. So, the setup for us in this scene is the writer is moving from a discussion of exhortation in describing the faith that we enjoy today. That's Hebrews 10, 19 through 39. Then he goes into a definition in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, what faith is. And then he's going to illustrate it for us in verses 3 through 40. It really doesn't stop there, but if we just stick with Hebrews chapter 11, that's kind of the structure of this chapter. So notice with me, beginning in verse 4, what the writer does here. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. So you were to look at this individual's life and how he lived. This man was a true worshiper of God. He dedicated himself to God. He committed himself to God and offered excellent sacrifices. These excellent sacrifices were sacrifices made by faith. Next, let's notice Enoch, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so they did not see death. It's kind of an amazing description of someone who didn't die. Just like Elijah, he was taken up into the heavens. He's a unique individual in the scriptures in that he didn't see death. But the important aspect that I want us to notice on how he lived by faith is he walked with God. He lived in obedience with God. And then we have verse 7, a very well-known figure to most of us, especially to our children. We have Noah. Noah, on his gravestone here in this verse, his epitaph, it reads this way: being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. How did he condemn the world? By being obedient to God and preparing the ark. What a wonderful description of a life well lived in service to God. Then we have in verse 8, Abraham. Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. It reads further and it gives us more detail about this person's life, but that alone should be enough to warrant recognition and to take notice. This person went to a place that he didn't know where he was going, all because God told him to go. Let's skip over to verse 23, Hebrews 11 and verse 23. Hebrews 11 and verse 23, as we're walking together through this graveyard, I want you to notice this description. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. So you would think that this would be Moses' gravesite. No, this is his parents. His parents, too, were faithful individuals who hid this child so that he wouldn't be taken. Look at verse 24. Now we move on to Moses' graveside. Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And here's the important one I want you to notice, verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, he lists many other people that we could recognize, but I want you to skip over to verse 39 and 40. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Well, what does that mean? Well, look at verses 13 through 16, because I think this describes better what verses 39 and 40 are saying. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11, these all of these grave sites, all of these monumental verses that we see of people who live by faith and service and dedication to God, this is the description of these people. So as you walk up to the graveyard, this is what it's going to read when you go through the entrance. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. This goes back to our definition in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. That's the description. Their faith was based on being assured that God had prepared something better for them. They embraced them and they confessed that these people were all strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunities to return. Verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So all these people, when we walk through this graveyard, they all died in faith, walking on this earth as pilgrims and strangers, knowing that the sufferings that they faced, the persecutions that they endured, the hardships, all of the horrific things that this chapter mentions that people had to face and endure, all the ridicule, the shame, the reproach that these people went through, they did so because they knew God would provide something better for them. So as the writer of Hebrews is walking us through this graveyard and he's having us notice all of these gravestones, this is how this individual lived. He brings us to our last one. And it's not found in Hebrews chapter 11, but it's actually found in Hebrews chapter 12. And what's unique about this grave site is that this grave is empty. See, all those people before still haven't had their fulfillment of the promise of being in that heavenly country. They're still waiting on that promise to be fulfilled. But there's only one who's been there. Read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, this person is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and here it is, and is at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is in heaven. This individual is our general. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 calls him the captain of our salvation. This one is an important one that the scriptures teach us we must memorialize this one. We have to remember this person's death and his life and where he's positioned today. And we do that not one time a year, not every few quarters of a year, but we're supposed to remember this every first day of the week. We memorialize his death. And how do we do that? We do it by two aspects. We do it with the bread and the fruit of the vine. So this Lord's Supper that we partake of every week is a memorial feast in dedication to Jesus so we can remember the great sacrifice that he made for us. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin in verse 15. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of this until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it for among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of a vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. And here is the memorial that God wants us to make for the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. He wants us to do this in remembrance. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul's going to reiterate this same concept. But skip down to verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's what Christians are to do when we memorialize what Jesus has provided for us. So we should all partake of this weekly memorial and the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Here's the question I want to ask us. Do we remember the Lord's death? Are we people who have this fervent desire to meet together to partake of the Lord's Supper, this memorial feast, every first day of the week? Or do we have other obligations? Are there other things that are more important to us? Just like Memorial Day, for some, it's lost its meaning and its significance. I'm afraid that many today, they've lost the meaning and significance of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He died for us. He sacrificed his body. He shed his blood that we can have eternal life with him. So now we can be like those faithful in the past, that we have an expectation, a confident expectation, that one day after we pass from this earth, on our gravesite, it's going to say, "This individual lived by faith, and now he's in heaven." He's in heaven. Do we memorialize Christ's death like we're supposed to? Do we remember what Jesus has done for us? It's really sad when a nation forgets all the privileges and the freedom that we have for soldiers who have died for us. But it's even sadder when Christians forget Jesus and his great sacrifice, who brought us a spiritual freedom and all the things that we enjoy today. Shouldn't we reflect Jesus and remember his sacrifice? Shouldn't we remember what he did for us on the cross and live for him and dedicate ourselves? Isn't this a time that we remember and we're renewed in our commitment to him, so we too can live by faith, in trust, in hope that God will do things better for us after we pass on to the next life? Like so many of our fallen soldiers before, or fallen comrades who are Christians, we should live by the will of God. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. And the text that was read for us, this will be our final passage. Because the New Testament is replete with passages that command us, dedicate your life to God. Remember Christ. Remember the sacrifice that he made for you. And he even reminds a gospel preacher who knows this truth, and he reminds them, remember that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So we take of this bread, we take of the fruit of the vine, all to do in remembrance that our general, the captain of our salvation, has paved the way for us, has sat down at the right hand of God, and if we follow in his footsteps by faith, if we travel that road that he walked down, we can end up in the same place. This is a wonderful time that we get to get together and celebrate and commemorate the Lord's passing, that he's victorious over death. But how many of us today woke up this morning and thought, "I can't wait to get together with the family of God and commemorate and memorialize Jesus' passing"? Too many of us treat it just like it's Memorial Day, just another day. It's not anything special. It's not anything unique. You know, Paul, when he visited a group of Christians in Troas in Acts chapter 20, he waited 7 days till he got together with the brethren to partake of the Lord's Supper. That's how important it was for him. And it gives us a description that that's the reason why they came together on the first day of the week. It's the sole purpose for them coming together. Without Jesus' sacrifice, there would be no reason for us to be here this morning. Without Jesus' dedication and his commitment to God the Father, we wouldn't be here today. And so, yes, this weekend and tomorrow, people are going to remember soldiers, but today, we're going to dedicate this to Jesus. And it's not just today, but in reality, it's going to be every day following. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never really thought that much about the memorial feast. You never really thought that much about Jesus' sacrifice and what it meant for you. But today you would like to dedicate yourself to him. and become a Christian. There's no better honor that you can give Jesus, our King and our General, the captain of our salvation, than giving your life over to Him in service. But if you do that today, then you get to partake of the Lord's Supper with us and share in this feast. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize, you know what? I've had other priorities in life. You know what? I'm guilty of having other obligations. You know what? In reality, I don't really partake of the Lord's Supper. I don't really think about much. I'm always consumed with other distractions in life. Christians aren't supposed to live like that. The faithful that we see in the New Testament, that's not how they lived. They didn't find other distractions. They didn't find other pleasures or treasures in this life. It wasn't as if, oh yeah, we can get together and we can skip service. We don't have to memorialize. I can memorialize Jesus' death tomorrow. No, it's today. Today's that day that we take of that fruit and of that bread and we commemorate His dedication. I really want us to emphasize that today. If you're here this morning and you need prayers of the church, maybe you need repentance, maybe you need to be saved by being baptized for the remission of sins, come forward as we stand and we sing.